Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Thanksgiving took place earlier this week. It is a time when we give thanks for the fall harvest. Our two interviews fit this theme to a T. The first story is about the Northumberland United Way annual fundraising campaign. It was launched at the start of October. But like so many things, it's not the same during the pandemic. Raising money is a huge challenge, and when there are so many organizations that depend on the amounts raised by the United Way, it makes the stakes even higher. Cornerstone Family Violence Prevention Center, Greenwood Coalition, the Northumberland Community Counseling are just a few of the groups benefiting from the United Way. Bobby Dawson, CEO of Northumberland United Way, spoke to me about these challenges, but also about the generosity and kindness she sees in the county. The theme for this year's campaign is rebuilding Northumberland, but you'll hear how she and her board are not only rebuilding the county, but also rebuilding their campaign. Next, you will hear about a unique initiative to help military veterans. Once soldiers leave the military, they can face many hardships. A poor pension, difficulty finding meaningful and lucrative work, along with mental and physical challenges can create serious barriers to success. This leaves them facing higher than normal poverty and unemployment rates. A Peterborough County couple started a project a few years ago to deliver vegetables from their home garden to veterans in the area. Produce for Heroes has grown from this caring couple into a full-fledged nonprofit charity with a board of directors and a host of farmers growing and distributing food boxes to veterans with the help of the Royal Canadian Legion branches. I interviewed one of the board members who will share this story. But first, here is my interview with Bobby Dawson, CEO of the Northumberland United Way, about the launch of the annual fundraising campaign. I'm so pleased to have with me today Bobby Dawson, CEO of United Way of Northumberland. Welcome to Consider This.
Thank you for having me, Robert.
You are quoted as saying that we are in the middle of one of the greatest crises you have ever seen in Northumberland County. What makes you say this?
So, I mean, I think we're living in unprecedented times. It's, you know, when we consider that for the last 50 years that Northumberland United Way has existed in Northumberland County, you know, we've steadily increased our campaign revenue. We've sort of, you know, been able to predict with some degree of accuracy what we can rely on in terms of a goal or you know, get to that goal or around that goal based on the current economic situation, the generosity, the incredible generosity of residents of Northumberland County, and on the resources that we have internally. And each year we've been able to say, you know, for the last few years, about 850,000 has been our goal. You know, this year we realized that the pandemic has hit the not-for-profit sector hard. And those people who have, you know, who are already in tough situations are feeling the impact of this disproportionately so. And so when we, you know, when we launched our campaign on October 1st, we said, you know, we could set a goal that we've set previously in previous years, but is that realistic and will that meet even the shortfalls that are being projected by a lot of our community partners? You know, we've had to take a lot of measures to protect ourselves with physical distancing, and we've done very well locally. You know, the numbers for COVID-19 are low in Northumberland County, so that's fantastic. Unfortunately, as a result of that, we've not been able to get out and fundraise the way that we have in previous years. And that's the same for our community partners who, you know, rely on a lot of that revenue to stay operating. So When I say it's a crisis, I mean, we've heard from our community partners already that they are projecting massive shortfalls. So when we go out to set our goal, not only will that not meet the need that exists, and again, the need is great, but it's not necessarily going to make up for the shortfall. Now, we have this fantastic partnership with the federal government, thankfully. United Way Canada has secured that across the country. And as a result of that, Northumberland United Way has been able to put almost $500,000 into this community as a facilitator, because we have those connections to community agencies and we're able to manage that process.
Well, there's a lot in there, and I'd like to sort of tease all of it out over our conversation. But before we do that, what is the significance of the theme this year, Rebuilding Northumberland?
So it is something that United Ways across the country, it's a message that United Ways across the country are using to show communities that we are there. We are going to be relentless in our mission to support the sector, to rebuild the sector, to make sure that no one is left behind, and that no one falls through the cracks. That's, that's the idea, that we recover. We recover and we rebuild from the impact of COVID-19, which again, we're still sort of understanding the impact and how long-lasting that impact will be. But we will continue to rebuild until, it's a great community for everyone.
It's interesting because historically United Way is almost a facilitator in the community. They collect money and then they distribute it, and that facilitates services that normally don't get supported. But do you think now, under the current circumstances, you also are building networks? And it sounds to me like, networks of people that care, that are kind, that are wanting to do good in the community.
Absolutely. And it is part of the mandate, the work of the United Way. For a long time, we grappled as a movement back and forth around, are we a fundraising organization? Are we a community impact organization? And it turns out that we're both. We have to be. We can't fund programs that, impact measurable results in the community around social service or social issues without understanding what those issues are. And so we need to, work together with our community partners. It's been difficult, with COVID to feel connected. And so these are the types of programs and community impact that we're seeing happen more so even now because of the pandemic. And I think that's one silver lining of COVID-19 is that it's been a bit of an agitator. We've had to shake things up. We haven't been able to do things the way we've always done them. And so people are having to get really creative and work together. And so, it's had some great impact so far, and hopefully we'll continue to see in the future as well.
Earlier, you mentioned about the fundraising goal for this year's campaign. And I noticed in the literature that you are not setting a goal. Can you further explain why it is you're doing that? Because most fundraising experts would tell you, if you don't have a goal, you'll never reach it. And that kind of targeting mentality. Why are you choosing not to do that this year?
Mm-hmm. So, it's different across the movement. Some United Ways are announcing a goal, and some United Ways have chosen not to. And the idea around it is, to your point about, fundraising experts saying that, without a goal, you might not reach it. There's also research that shows that when you ask people to give what they can, they give more than what a limit that you might set for them, right? So there's two schools of thought on that. And I think, when we set our goal, when we go out and we set our goal, it's based, like I said before, on economic conditions, on, what we know sort of is the capacity to give, what our resources are internally. We also know that the unemployment rate is high. We know that there have been, layoffs locally. We also know that we haven't been able to get out and meet and have our fundraising events. And so we're projecting a shortfall based on that as well. And then again, we know that to run the program, that we ran last year, we would need at least 850,000. So as a guideline, we'll be pushing for that 850,000 as a guideline. But the goal is to meet the needs that exist. And that means that it's going to take each and every one of us giving all that we can, because every single dollar is going to add up and it's going to count toward helping to rebuild the community. And so that's sort of where that concept comes from, is that, you know, 850 is our baseline, is our sort of, that's what we need to meet sort of at least. But because we know that the shortfalls are much higher than that, the projected shortfalls are much higher, we need to really push to get as much as we can in the door this year. And we really do need to rely on the generosity of Northumberland County residents. And, you know, from what I've seen over the last year working in this role, the community spirit that exists in Northumberland County is just, it blows my mind. It's really, you know, people will put in a full work week of volunteer hours. You know, they will give of their time and their resources to make sure that their fellow, you know, Northumberland County resident has what they need. And it really has been inspiring. And so I think, you know, if we all just sort of band together, I think we can support each other and create an even better community.
I don't know if I missed something, but when I looked through the literature, I didn't see that a campaign chair was announced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, this year we've decided that we are going to, and we've had some fantastic campaign chairs and spokespeople. We've had sort of different titles for them in the past. This year, and we've actually welcomed 6 new board members to Northumberland United Way, and we're super excited about that as well. We've sort of done some stamping around our committees and some of the work that we're going to be doing in response to COVID-19. And so, you know, the spokesperson piece was mostly, you know, I really felt strongly that our team needs to be out there. We have this fantastic team behind the scenes doing all this great work, who really understand community issues and really want to help. So I'd like to highlight the team this year and the work that they're doing. And I think if anyone can speak on behalf of the organization, it's these people who come into work every day and decide to work in the not-for-profit sector, decide to work for United Way because they really care about what they do. And these people are fantastic. They could, you know, choose to work in a for-profit role, or they could choose to work pretty much anywhere because they have the skills and the tenacity of any fantastic employee that I've ever seen. And so, you know, I want to highlight their efforts, but also have them speak on behalf of the work of our community partners and on behalf of rebuilding their community, because they all live in Northumberland County and they all care about the future of this community. So that's sort of the goal this year, is to really highlight staff and to have staff get out there and talk about why are they involved with United Way? Why do they choose to work for the organization? And what's their vision? And that's a question that we're actually throwing out to everyone this year. Any resident can go on to mynuw.org and tell us what they would like to see for Northumberland County. What is your vision as a community member? What do you see are the issues, especially as a result of the pandemic? And what do you hope for the future? And, you know, this can be a blue sky thing. It can be big, and it can also be very tangible, practical, feasible stuff. But we do want to hear from everyone in the community, because Northumberland United Way is a community organization, and without, you know, being held up by the community, we don't exist. So that's sort of the idea for this year in terms of spokesperson or spokespeople.
Now, in terms of fundraising, how much do you depend on payroll deductions?
Yeah, so it's about 45% of what we bring in is workplace campaigns. Some of that is payroll deductions, but some of that is you know, people who sort of say, you know what, I just take it off my check, I don't need to think about it, and continue to do that, you know, next year we can roll it over. And some of it is, you know, workplace events, and some of it is just one-time donations, and some of it's corporate donations, but about 45 to 50% of what we generate annually comes from our workplaces or industry partners. And so we are, you know, anticipating that people that might not have the same capacity to give this year And so, you know, we are trying our absolute best to continue to engage workplaces. You know, we're not sure about workplace events, you know, with physical distancing and that kind of thing. But we are creating as much digital content as we can to share the story of the work of our partners and hopefully inspire people to continue to give.
Now, the last time we spoke in June, you announced a wave of federal funding that was being distributed by United Way, and you've alluded earlier to the fact that you now have a second round of monies coming through. Can you tell us how much that is, and is it how is it related to that first wave that we talked about earlier?
Yeah, so we had back in June, July, launched the first round of emergency community support funding, and that was about $320, if I'm not mistaken, into the community. Overall, we have invested more than $340,000 with that in combination of our own local COVID-19 relief and then as well as New Horizons for Seniors funding. When the federal government announced the ECSF fund, they held back some funds and said, you know, this is the first round and we're going to be, you know, sending it out to you, you'll facilitate it, but we're holding back some to look at, to be responsive to new and emerging needs that come about as a result of this pandemic, because it is unprecedented times and because they know that that things will likely come up that we weren't expecting. And so they've launched the second round, and locally for us that means about $77,000 locally for organizations that might be needing a top up or to their existing programs for COVID-19 or that have new programs to respond to the COVID-19 pandemic. So, and many organizations are focused on response at this point. You know, there's not a lot of there's the same programming is still taking place at a lot of our community partners where they're having to sort of continually run existing programs. But a lot of what they're doing as well is responding to the increased need as a result of COVID-19 or physical distance measures, you know, needing spaces and sanitizers and all sorts of different things to make sure that they're still able to serve clients. So that ECSF is called ECSF Round 2, and that is currently open. You can apply if you're an organization, not-for-profit, looking for funding. Go to mynuw.org. You need to be a registered charity to access those funds. And if you're not a registered charity, you can partner with a registered charity. If you have any questions about that, you can reach out to us, and we'll help walk you through that. So the applications are open until October 30th. And then decisions are made in November where to allocate those. And so, you know, it's for immediate priorities, you know, like preparing and delivering meals or food hampers, supporting individuals, you know, in accessing income supports, financial coaching. Could be for home care, personal care for seniors, elders, persons with disabilities, mental health and wellness support. So that includes crisis counseling, peer support, personal safety support, so those living in or escaping situations of violence, and then as well access to transportation for essential appointments and errands. There's other eligibility as well, and if you have questions around the eligibility, there's all sorts of information on our website where you can find the application form and all sorts of details around how to apply.
Is the money that's being offered sufficient to meet all the needs in Northumberland?
So, as I mentioned previously, we have had, so Cameco generously and graciously gave us $20,000 for our grant this year. We typically give out about $20,000 to $30,000 in grants every year, but usually only if we make goal or if we're anticipating making goal. And they've allotted $20,000 for that this year. We've had four times the applications than dollars that meet the need. So the need for that particular round of funding is four times what we have available. So, you know, that sort of speaks to the increased need in our community. We will see what comes of the ECSF round two applications. I anticipate that we will get, as we did the first round, more applications than we could meet the need for. We were able to fund each applicant, but not to the fullest extent of their request. And so we do anticipate that the need is much greater. Maybe a bit more philosophically, you know, each year we go out with a goal and we say, this is what we need to fund the programs that we funded last year or to meet a similar need to support, say, 25,000 residents in Northumberland County. And this is what we've anticipated is possible based on previous year's results, based on, like I said, resources that we have internally, the economic conditions locally, those kinds of things. And so when we go out with that goal, we always know that the need is greater than what those dollars will meet. So this is part of the philosophy around why we would go out and not necessarily announce a goal this year and say, give all that you can, because, there's always need. And so it can feel big. It can feel, you know, overwhelming at times, I think, to people who work, partners and ourselves who work in this sector. It can feel bigger than us. But, you know, I'm reminded when I read a story about a child who perhaps wasn't included or didn't feel included and maybe had some mental health issues, and then they attend, you know, Song, one of the music programs that we support, and they learn a musical instrument, and they gain a sense of belonging, and they're able to socialize, and they just feel better about life now, and they're more focused on school, and they're just a happier child overall. And I hear a story like that, and I think, okay, you know, it has impact. You know, the dollars have impact in the community, and if we can help, you know, just one more child, one more adult with mental health issues, one more woman escape, you know, a violent situation, one more family gets a meal on the table, it's all worth it. And so, you know, like I said earlier, every dollar counts, and it really does have an impact on our community.
When you go to put your head down on your pillow in bed at night, what thoughts do you have that keep you optimistic about the future of the United Way in Northumberland and the ability to reach your campaign goal?
I think about, you know, I often go back to my first day at United Way when I first came in. And I remember I was nervous because I was meeting my team for the first time, and you know, and I didn't know very many people in the community, and I knew, you know, there were some big shoes to fill from two really amazing predecessors, and so I thought, okay, I'm going to go in, and I'm going to, you know, my best self. And I remember walking in, and not only was the whole team there, and many members of the board, but also four or five volunteers, two of which who had stayed up the night before to bake baked goods to welcome me, and then there was, you know, someone was in the corner grabbing coffee, and so-and-so stopped by to greet me, and, you know, it was this unlike anything I had ever experienced. It felt like I was coming home. It felt like I was visiting, you know, someone's home, and they greeted me, and they hosted me in this way, and it really sort of made me feel supported and like I belonged right from the beginning. And that's something that I've seen happen over and over and over again over the last year. So when I think about the issues that exist in our community, when I think about, you know, oh gosh, this is big, and you know, how much of a dent can we make, and how can we help, I think it's not, you know, we're not doing this in isolation, and we are not doing this by ourselves. You know, there's a big community of people out there who just really care and want to give their time and their energy and their resources to making Northumberland County the best community to live in Ontario. So, you know, that is what keeps me going. And then it's the impact stories, the stories of people who receive services and their lives are better because of it, and they're able to smile, you know, a bit more because of it, or they're just, you know, able to climb out of a bad situation. That's what motivates me when I have my moments of doubt and fear, like we all do, especially in times of uncertainty. I think about the people of this community, and I just know we're going to be okay.
Bobby Dawson, thanks so much for talking to me today.
Thank you so much for your time, Robert. Have a great day and stay safe.
That was Bobby Dawson, CEO of Northumberland United Way, talking about the launch of the annual fundraising campaign. And when we come back, I will be talking to a board member from Produce for Heroes, a program supplying food boxes to veterans. Please stay tuned to Consider This on Northumberland 89.7 FM, your truly local source for news. We'll be right back. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at ConsiderThisNorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.